You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast, Updates in the Management of Agitation Associated with Dementia Due to Alzheimer's Disease. In this episode, we will discuss best practices for screening and diagnosing patients with AD-related agitation. My name is Deb Gordon, and I'm thrilled to host today's podcast. I'm joined by Dr. Gary Small, who chairs the Department of Psychiatry at Hackensack University Medical Center in New Jersey. Welcome, Dr. Small.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here with you.
Why don't we just start with sort of a general overview of what agitation in Alzheimer's disease looks like?
So everybody knows the term agitation, and it happens to people in everyday life, but it's also very common in people with cognitive decline from Alzheimer's dementia. And it tends to emerge more often as the disease progresses. And it's manifested both by complaints, what the patient says, and by behaviors, what we observe. So the patient may talk about feeling anxious or irritable, and we may see behaviors such as fidgeting, tapping fingers, repetitive movements, pacing, wandering, a whole host of behaviors that express this internal feeling of unrest.
And that can be quite concerning to the caregiver.
Well, it certainly is. And I think it's very difficult for caregivers, even those that have been educated about the disease. It's very easy to react to these patient behaviors in a way that is human. Patient gets aggressive, it's hard not to take it personally. It's hard to remind oneself that this is really part of the disease and it's not directed at the individual personally, but it needs to be addressed. And there are ways to help, both with medication and with non-medical approaches.
Which is a perfect segue into my next question. Let's talk about treatment, management, and let's start with behavioral approaches.
So we always say to start with behavioral approaches first because, you know, even the best medicine has some side effects and we try to avoid that. And it may be that a non-medical or non-medication approach is quite effective. And one wants to create a calm environment, remove stressors, and of course that may involve some investigation. What might be triggering these behaviors? Could it, if someone is in a long-term care facility, maybe there is a particular caregiver that doesn't have the kind of personality that fits well with the patient and gets them agitated and stressed out. And other environmental triggers could be noise, glare, background distractions, loud music, television blaring. On the other hand, for some people, you find out about them, the television in the background may calm them down. Depends on what their preferences are. You want to monitor the person's personal comfort, find out if there's a source of pain or an infection that could be triggering the symptoms. And it's important to simplify tasks and routines to kind of keep the patient to a daily schedule, which they appreciate, and certainly provide opportunity for exercise. You know, one of the troubling manifestations of agitation is wandering, and patients get lost, and it's difficult. And one way to manage that is to have a regular exercise program.
I've read a lot about things like music and aromatherapy. Does that help?
Yeah, it depends on the patient. I mean, certainly music is helpful when it's the right kind of music. And I've seen patients in facilities where you bring in music from the past, particularly thinking of a woman from Hungary. And there, a guy came in with an accordion, played some of the old tunes, and she, her agitation not only disappeared, but she seemed 10 years younger, just excited and engaged in it. But if it's the wrong kind of music, it's going to just worsen the agitation. And, you know, aromatherapy, I think there's less evidence for that. But even, you know, simple measures like taking a bath, there's some data that a warm bath is really helpful to stabilize a person's mood.
Great. So behavioral approaches, I know in the guidelines, are recommended first before you turn to medication. When is it time to turn to medication?
Yeah, certainly if the behavioral approaches are not effective or only partially effective, and these behaviors are disturbing to the patient, to the caregiving team, or to both, that's a time to consider a medication approach.
And let's go into the medications. There's quite a few options that clinicians have been using over the years.
They've used quite a few options because there's been no FDA indication for agitation and Alzheimer's dementia. And so doctors have relied on their clinical experience with various medication classes to try to help calm these patients. Antipsychotics, antidepressants, and anticonvulsants are probably the major classes of medications that have been used.
Let's go into each of those classes and tell me about what clinical trials show for each and what you see clinically in terms of adverse effects and efficacy.
Clinical trial results have been mixed with these different compounds. You know, some studies show some benefit, other studies don't show much benefit. And, you know, the challenge is that there are so many different causes of agitation in dementia, and the severity of dementia is another factor, patient sensitivity to these medicines. Also, when you do clinical trials, you have a select group of patients that are not too complex. You tend to exclude people who have multiple medical problems, who have comorbid conditions. But in the real world, these patients are complex. And so you may or may not see a beneficial effect of these various medicines. You know, the antipsychotics can, you know, different adverse effects can range from relatively minor tolerable issues like mild sedation or dry mouth to more unpleasant side effects, such as constipation, akathisia, which sexual dysfunction. There could even be painful side effects like acute dystonias or disfiguring where there's weight gain and tardive dyskinesia. And there can even be life-threatening side effects such as myocarditis and agranulocytosis. Now, some adverse effects have little short-term clinical implications. You know, you might see an increased prolactin level or serum lipid levels may change, but they may involve longer-term medical complications.
Do you have a go-to? I know we just got the first FDA-approved medication for agitation and Alzheimer's disease. Before we had that, did you have a go-to that you went to that you found most effective, or did it really just depend on the patient?
Well, I think it depends on the patient because, you know, what we tend to do is choose medicines based on their side effect profile. So if it's someone who is withdrawn, you wouldn't want a sedating medication, whether it's an antipsychotic or an antidepressant. If it's somebody who can't sleep at night, who is really energized and fidgeting, you want something a bit more sedating.
Now let's talk about that new drug, FDA-approved drug, the first one for agitation, brexpiprazole. First, what is the indication that the FDA gave it?
So the indication is for patients with agitation in the presence of Alzheimer's dementia in older patients. You know, if the, you know, the indication from the FDA is for agitation in patients with Alzheimer's dementia, but it's not indicated for those patients who also have psychosis.
Great. Important to know. Can you give us another episode in this podcast series that goes way in depth on the mechanism of action of brexpiprazole. So we can be briefer here, but can you give us just a brief overview of how it's working in the brain?
So the way we think it works, it has to do with several neurotransmitters, particularly serotonin and dopamine. And it's a serotonin dopamine activity modulator, or the acronym is SDAM. So it selectively binds to the catecholamines, norepinephrine and epinephrine. And it also acts as a partial agonist at FHT1A, which is a serotonin receptor, and D2, which is a dopamine receptor. It's also an antagonist of FHT2A, which is another serotonin receptor, and alpha-1A, which is an adrenergic receptor.
And now let's go to what I know our listeners are most interested in, which what the clinical trial showed.
So there have been several clinical trials. Two randomized clinical trials suggested that brexpiprazole at 2 milligrams may be more efficacious, safe, and well-tolerated in patients with agitation and Alzheimer's dementia. Very recently, actually back in November 2023, JAMA Neurology published a trial that I think is quite informative. And you know, the objective was to look at efficacy, safety, and tolerability of the drug in patients with agitation and Alzheimer's dementia. So it was a randomized clinical trial, 12-week, double-blind, placebo-controlled, fixed-dose, parallel-arm trial. It was a two-arm trial, so patients were randomized to receive oral brexpiprazole or placebo. It was a 2-to-1 ratio for the 12 weeks. And within the brexpiprazole arm, patients were further randomized to receive two fixed doses of 2 milligrams per day or 3 milligrams a day, per day in a 1-to-2 ratio. Main outcome measures, primary endpoint was change in the Cohen-Mansfield Agitation Inventory Total Score. And for those unfamiliar with that inventory, it measures the frequency of 29 agitated behaviors. And safety was assessed by standardized measures, including treatment emergent adverse events. And, you know, just the bottom line of that trial was that patients with Alzheimer's dementia who took brexpiprazole, 2 or 3 milligrams, they showed statistically significant improvement compared to the placebo group in their agitation symptoms over the 12 weeks. And it was generally well tolerated over the 12 weeks, which is saying something, because this is a vulnerable population.
And also, you know, atypical antipsychotics tend to have a lot of side effects, as you were discussing earlier. And so seeing better safety signals, I would imagine, is pretty important.
It certainly is encouraging, because we're all concerned about side effects. As they told us in medical school, at first do no harm.
What has been your experience in prescribing it?
Well, you know, I think it takes time to get an understanding of how these medicines work in different patients. You know, I've had pretty good results so far. The the recommended starting dosage in the treatment of these patients is you start at 0.5 milligram. You give it once daily the first 7 days. And then on the 8th day, the next week, you increase to 1 milligram once daily. And then the following week, up to 2 milligrams. So the recommended target dose is 2 milligrams per day.
Let's look a little bit into the future. And what else is coming down the pike?
Well, there's a lot of drugs in the pipeline. It's such a complex disease. We're not sure which drug is going to have the biggest impact. For one, I've done a lot of research on people at risk for dementia, and we've seen some positive effects of reducing inflammation in the brain early on, and there's going to be more trials in that area. But there's a lot of other new compounds that are in development, and so in addition to the drugs, there's also devices that are being developed that use focused ultrasound or different forms of electricity or magnets to try to jumpstart neurocircuitry in order to help the brain that is degenerating at a very sometimes rapid pace, sometimes more insidious.
So what else is coming down the pike for agitation and Alzheimer's disease?
Well, you know, we know that a lot of different aspects of the brain fail as the disease progresses. And you know, we've talked about dopaminergic systems, serotonergic, adrenergic systems. And as we learn more about the underlying neurobiology, that's going to lead to other targeted compounds that will help with these various symptoms. So I'm very optimistic that we're going to see more effective and safer drugs in the future.
I want to thank you so much for this very insightful conversation. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us. As we said, we've got four other podcasts in this series, including one in which you'll hear a caregiver discuss exactly what it's like to live with someone who develops agitation and Alzheimer's disease. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide CME for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. And I want to give a special thank you to our supporters, Otsuka America Pharmaceutical, Inc. and Lundbeck, who provided an educational grant for this activity.